ginormous tree. A humongous tree for all the world to see. Yeah, to see.
If you're just joining Rosie on the House, it is the second Saturday of the month, our 8 o'clock hour. We call it our outdoor living hour, and we're talking trees, and we've been having a conversation with Jordan Orwig and Gary Peterson of Save a Tree about this new oyster shell that is attacking our aspen trees. And we've got just a couple more points to hit on that before we go through the rest of our talking points for this month for our talking trees. Jordan, what's our plan of attack here?
So that's a great question. So again, kind of recap, and we said the most important really aspect of this is understanding the life cycle and the timing. Generally speaking, and I hate to use dates, really when we time insect emergence, we look at growing degree accumulation days, and we're also looking at phenological indicators. But generally speaking, folks in Arizona will probably see this kind of late spring, early summer. And really the best way to identify when these crawlers or nymphs hatch is you'll start to see these little white kind of cream colored specks that are mobile now coming out from underneath that oyster shell looking scale, which is actually the body of the adult female. So once you see those little nymphs start to make their way out from underneath the insect, we know it's time to do then a topical treatment. For a homeowner aspect, if you can monitor that closely and really grasp when your crawler emergence is going to happen, these insects are really fairly easy to kill with an insecticidal soap or a horticultural oil if you're doing it yourself. If you're running into some larger plants where you really don't have ease of access to the entire canopy of the tree, we really recommend bringing in a professional arborist then that can recommend some different tools that are a little outside of what most homeowners are comfortable using. Not necessarily from a safety standpoint, just from an accessibility and an understanding of the dosage. Probably our number one treatment when we see this is usually we're coming in after the fact, so we already have an infestation, so we've lost our ability to prevent it. So at this point, if we're coming into a client's property and it's before we were seeing this crawler hatch, we have the opportunity to use a systemic product. The material name is Dinotefuran, sold under the trade name Safari. Transtech is another one. But this is a systemic material, and a systemic material means that it is absorbed into the tissue of the plant and translocated through the plant. Essentially, then, this insect that is feeding on the conductive tissue of the plant ingests the material and then is controlled. This is also a material that gives us 6 weeks of a control window. So again, being slightly ahead of the timing is ideal to get that product into the tree. And then that way, when those crawlers do hatch, we're already preloaded into the tree. We're going to control them in the earliest portion of their nymph life stage. Another great advantage to this is the fact that we don't have to lose any material into the atmosphere or the environment. With our systemic applications, we've got some new technology where certain materials we no longer have to drill into the tree. We actually have products that you can apply directly to the bark. They will absorb through the bark and actually go into the vascular system of the tree. These products move up the tree very well, don't move down the tree necessarily all that well. And like I said, the Dinotefuran product is going to give you about a 6 week window of control. There are some other systemic products. I don't really recommend them for scale insects per se. One of them being imidacloprid. This is another systemic product. Has a longer residual, but not a very effective product on scale. One piece of advice for any homeowner, if you are considering treating yourself, one of the most important things you can do is read the pesticide label and understand it. You know, many of these products that we use in the professional market are available in a homeowner variety. What tends to be the challenge is getting the rate right and getting the coverage correct. And that's where we have the equipment, the tools, and the knowledge to really take care of that. That would probably be my number one treatment. Additionally, I'm a giant fan of horticultural oil treatments. These are Just the product itself, it's not necessarily organic product, but it is a natural based product that is very low impact in regards to resistant to insects, toxicity or risk associated with pets, your children, your family, our employees that have to apply these materials. And it's a good cover treatment that prevents a lot of insect issues from happening before they ever really occur. We like to do these treatments in the dormant season. One limitation we do have with oyster shell scale specifically is the horticulture oil will control the eggs. However, when the eggs are protected underneath the body of the adult female in that waxy coating, we don't always get good penetration underneath her. So essentially, there's going to be some eggs that are missed. You know, with any kind of integrated pest management approach, I always recommend, you know, not only scouting, but we have also the opportunity to physically remove them. Probably the easiest thing for a homeowner to do, a soft Brillo pad and a little bit of time and patience and a hand cleaner ready for afterwards, you can physically remove these and, eliminate a lot of the insect presence just by physically cleaning the bark surface of the tree.
The oyster shell, something to now be aware of for anyone that's got aspen. But that's not the only bug. Gary, what else do we have to be looking for? We've got spring and things are coming out.
A couple hours ago, I was talking with Sarah Maitland, who's been on the show many times. She had spotted something called a crane fly. And from what she's telling me, when you start seeing crane flies, you're 2 weeks out from seeing the other white flies, caterpillars, so all that stuff's getting ready to come out. This morning, one of my best friends up in Gilbert, Arizona, sent me a picture of a beehive that was extremely active. So the bees are out as well. Be safe. And Jordan's got some tips on safety, doing it yourself, things like that, ladder usage, and he's definitely the expert on that as well.
Yeah, so, you know, coming into the spring, like Gary was saying, the crane fly, that's one of my favorite insects, just because for the majority of my life.
Gary, do you have favorite insects?
I do not.
The one dead under ones. My thumb at any given moment.
Dead ones.
Well, the interesting thing about the crane fly is I went through about 34 years of my life thinking this was a giant female mosquito. I'm guessing probably a lot of our listeners have thought the same thing, but actually when you see that large mosquito-looking insect, and this thing will have legs maybe an inch long.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I've seen that.
Okay. Yeah, and
that's a crane fly.
You talk to your grandfather, and that's a female mosquito that does whatever, and that is a turf insect pest called a crane fly. Fortunately, with your warm season grasses down here, probably not going to be a major issue. But you get on the East Coast; those fellows do some pretty severe damage. But like Gary said, with insects, with diseases, and all that, you can read 100 different books that's going to tell you, hey, March or April, or this is the time to do this. What we really have to look at is actually what's happening in the environment. So, really we use two tools really in the industry to focus on that. One of those is growing degree days, which a lot of weather stations, I use a site that's monitored through Michigan State University. And really what these are heat accumulation days. So we usually use what's called a base 50. So every day we have a high temperature above 50 degrees, we get an accumulation. And at certain points of accumulation, certain insects do certain things. The second part of that is what we call phenological indicators. And this is one of those things that's a little near and dear in my heart because actually one of my professors in college co-wrote a book called Coincide, which is a fantastic arborist guide that gives you an abundant amount of insect and disease pests that affect both deciduous and evergreen trees. Also, it will give you what is the target growing degree day to then treat the vulnerable cycle. And it's also going to tell you what other plants might be in bloom at that time. So again, plants do a lot of things in sync. It's just not dependable based on the calendar. You know, it's a great tool for us to understand that, looking around the landscape, what else is going on is going to be telling us what else might be happening there. Just like Gary said, with the crane fly is a good indicator that things are moving, things are coming around, and spring is on its way.
How much tree work and trimming do y'all do off of ladders, out of curiosity?
So the official response to that is none. We do use ladders in our operation. However, with our working standards, even if we are to work off of a ladder, we're still tied into a secure point. Ladders can be one of the number one hazards we see in an operation. You know, for those of us that went through an educational program to learn how to climb trees, and yes, there is a thing. I took 2 years of climbing trees in college.
He's right.
Yeah, mom and dad were thrilled to hear that one when they're paying the tuition, but it paid off in the long run.
Well, and speaking of bills, and you know, the reason I brought up ladders and safety was falls are the number one cause of people visiting emergency rooms, and off of a ladder is the number one fall that there is. And you know, it's very easy to overextend yourself out there trying to trim up, doing your I like to do my own tree work. Yep. I do. You know, I love working on the trees, but the best, I don't even know how much it costs, but one of those long pole that's got a saw on one side, and then it's got, you know, you can flip it around for smaller ones. It's got a knife with a string.
Yep.
Just to be able to stay on the ground.
Yeah, it's, I encourage people to stay on the ground. You know, it's not only are you putting yourself at risk of actually being up and down on the ladder, but really the biggest hazard we see is the fact that usually you're taking something out of the top of that tree, and it's now going down to where the base of your ladder is. And if you're not exactly clear on what I'm talking about, there's a couple hundred videos on YouTube that'll paint a very clear picture. But, you know, branches falling out of trees and taking the ladder out from underneath people is a huge hazard. And, you know, be safe out there. We are professionals. We invest a ton of time and money in making sure that our crews have the best gear, the best equipment, and the best training on how to use it, so they can stay safe out there.
Not many ladders in our world. There's a lot of ropes, a lot of rigging. We climb the tree. We don't use spikes or anything like that.
Cherry pickers?
Occasionally. We don't have any cherry pickers in Phoenix yet. We're still climbing. The other point that I always think about when we talk about ladders and climbing in the top of the tree, coming out, taking the ladder, well, you've also got a sharp object in your hand. So, you know, it's not just
sometimes
the ladder
motorized.
Exactly. So,
and multiple.
Right.
because how many different blades will you carry? You've got hand saws, pruners, straight.
Yeah, typically, an arborist crew will carry, you know, 2 to 3 different size chainsaws. Each climber is required to carry a handsaw with them. You know, part of that is in case they have to escape, they can cut their way out of it. And then also, too, for our more finesse work, we use, you know, very high precision hand pruning tools that do a real nice job for us. Oh. And they do a number on fingers as well. So.
All right, we've got one final segment here, Talking Trees with Jordan Orwig and Gary Peterson of Save a Tree.